Good evening.
Good evening.
Glad to see each one present tonight. They have enjoyed being with you this week. I'm going to have to fast next week just to...
Amen.
Your pastor, every time I turn around, he's trying to feed me. Guess he thinks I'm too skinny. I don't know, but I'm full of fish and hush puppies right now. I got a fried cherry pie right here. I'm going to have to preach it up here somehow. But I've enjoyed being with you. You've got a great church here. I may move to Mulder Road just so I can join here. I think that would be great. I love to see all these kids.
Amen.
Y'all have got a blessing of kids here. And I get excited when I see big families come visit us. I think y'all have as many kids as you can.
Amen.
Just your pastor's trying. He says he's about halfway where he wants to be. I don't know if Melissa's on board with that or not. You may have to carry the next four, but that's good. I heard about a fellow who went to the doctor with his expecting wife. He was sitting in the waiting room with two other men. The doctor came out and said to one of them, he said, "Congratulations, you have twins." He said, "What a coincidence. I work for the Minnesota Twins." He looks at the second guy and says, "Congratulations, you have triplets." He said, "That's amazing. I work for the 3M company." With this, the other fellow just fainted dead away. The doctor said, "What's wrong with him?" He said, "I don't know, but he works for 7-Up. I would faint too. Amen. First time you heard that, you rocked your cradle, didn't you? That wasn't a new one, but. Take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to deal with a question tonight. The question is this. Can man sin and get away with it? Is there any chance whatsoever that a person can escape the wrath of God if he rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and dies in his sins? I meet a lot of people in witnessing, and they say, "Well, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe there's a heaven or a hell." I say, "Well, what if you're wrong? What if the Bible is the Word of God? What if it's telling the truth about heaven and hell?" He said, "Well, when I die, I'll just say to God, 'I'm sorry, forgive me.' And he'll let me into heaven." Doesn't work that way. It's too late when you face God to make that decision. But a lot of people have this idea that God is just so loving and merciful that he won't. If there is a hell, he wouldn't cast anybody into hell. They think that they can get away with the sin in their life. Now, I believe God is a loving God, don't you?
Amen.
He is merciful. He's compassionate. But folks, the Bible also says that he is a just and holy God. He is a God that must punish sin. If God ever allowed sin to go unpunished, he would cease to be holy. Sin, by divine decree, must be punished. But is there a chance that God will ever spare a condemned unbeliever? I think Peter deals with that in our text tonight. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verses 4 through 9. Let's notice this. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, and cast them down to hell, and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and he spared not Sodom and Gomorrah, turning these cities into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot." Remember, we talked about Lot. Here it says Lot was a saved man. He was justified before God. He was delivered, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Then verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. He spared not. I want to talk to you tonight about the unsparing God. And I hope you'll take note of this message, because you're going to run into these people I'm talking about. And you need to share with them what the Bible says about an unsparing God when it comes to sin. It gives us several examples. He first of all talks about the fallen angels. They were not spared of God. Now you do know angels are not people who died and went to heaven and got wings. You know that, right? You know, you watch It's a Wonderful Life and there's Clarence trying to earn his wings. That's not from the Bible, by the way. I like to call my wife Angel, by the way. My angel is back tonight. Now, I'm not like that guy that said he called his wife Angel because she's always up in the air harping about something. I would never say that. Never. But I'm glad she's here. She's in the amen corner. I'm proud of that. But what about these angels? They are spiritual beings created by God. I believe before the creation of mankind, He had created these angels. Evidently millions of them. Now, I don't know why He needed that many, but there seems to be a multitude of angels. And like man, they were created in a sinless state. But certain of these angels followed Lucifer in a rebellion against God. Remember, Lucifer wanted to exalt himself to be like God. And somehow, I don't know how, I mean, this shows how persuasive this guy can be. He persuaded maybe a third of the angels to rebel with him. Now, he's persuasive, amen? I mean, these are angels that have been around God and know God. And how in the world did he convince them that I can whip God? That's a mystery to me. But these angels failed. Look at Jude verse 6. It says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, God hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness to the judgment of the great day." So these angels, we call them demons, don't we? The fallen angels are under judgment. They've already been condemned by God. And it says that they are kept in prison, under chains of darkness. I've wondered about that. We know that there are demons that are free doing the devil's work, right? Some demons are free and roaming around. Other angels are in Tartarus, in bondage. I've wondered about that. Why did some angels get cast into Tartarus and other angels are allowed to roam the earth? I wonder if where it says they left their first estate, I heard one guy say it's possible if there were three archangels. I'm not sure if there were or not, but the idea is that Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer were three archangels, and under them were a third of the angels. And he said it might be so that the angels who were under Lucifer and followed him are allowed to go free, but maybe some angels under Michael or Gabriel followed Lucifer. They left their first estate. They were under Gabriel. They were under Michael. They left their first estate to follow Lucifer. They're the ones in Tartarus. I don't know that for sure. Ask Bill Conley later and he'll probably be able to explain it. But that's an interesting thought, isn't it? I don't know if that's the case, but we do know that these angels who followed Lucifer were defeated and cast out of heaven. They are condemned awaiting their judgment. Isaiah 14, 15. "Yet they shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." Luke 10, 18. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus was there when Satan was cast out. And his followers were cast out with him. And now they've been sentenced to eternal condemnation. Hell was created for them. You know that? God created hell for Lucifer and his fallen angels. Now what happens? Jesus will say, Matthew 25:41, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You see that? Now, man is offered salvation. These fallen angels are not offered salvation, are they? You ever wondered about that? Why didn't God offer salvation to them? They sinned against God, but we sinned against God. Why are we offered salvation and the fallen angels are not? Simply because this, they made their choice. They chose to follow Lucifer. And they are going to have to live by that choice. Now man is given a choice. Are you with me? Angels had a choice. Now God says to man, you've got a choice. You can follow Lucifer like those angels did. You can stay in the kingdom of darkness if you want to. Or you can come out and come to the kingdom of light and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. But those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they stay in the kingdom of darkness and they will be in the kingdom of darkness for all eternity. What other option does God have? They made their choice. Don't blame God. They are without excuse. Romans chapter 1 tells us that, doesn't it? John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." See, man is born in sin. Man is born in the kingdom of darkness. Man is born a slave to Satan. All right? Back in the times of slavery, if slaves had a baby, was that baby free? The baby's born a slave, isn't it? If it's born to slaves, it's born to be a slave. It is owned by the master. And those who are descendants of Adam are born slaves of Satan. They must be redeemed. Amen. And those who choose not Christ choose to stay in the kingdom of Satan. So God would not spare, think about it, these holy, glorious angels that fell. God did not spare them. If God will not spare glorious angels, why should He spare you? Are you getting the point of this? Okay, let's move on. He gives another illustration. He talks about Noah's world in verse 5. He brought judgment upon the world of Noah, and only Noah and his family survived. Now, I know many reject the story of the flood and all of that. They say that couldn't happen and God would not do that. Let me remind you, in Genesis chapter 6, let's read verses 5 through 7. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth." But you read on, but it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Thank God for that. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God is going to send judgment upon a sinful world. And for many, many years, Noah warns those people, unless they repent, judgment is coming. Can you imagine that? I imagine, here's a little boy who comes running home, and he's just scared and crying. And he said, "Daddy, I was just listening to Mr. Noah, and he says God is going to destroy the world with a flood. Daddy, I'm scared." And Daddy starts laughing. He said, "Oh, son, don't pay any attention to that crazy old man. Son, when I was a little boy your age, I heard him talking about that, and he scared me, and I went running home to your grandpa, and guess what? He said that to your grandpa when he was a little boy. He's a nut. Don't pay any attention to him. There's not going to be any flood. He's just trying to scare people." How do people react when we say that judgment's coming? We try to warn our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors, "Repent, for the judgment of God is coming." They laugh. You try to tell them Jesus is coming. "Oh, you fanatics, y'all been saying that for I don't know how long. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's not come yet." And they laugh and they mock. But it's still the truth. Jesus is coming. And judgment is coming with him. And we ought to be faithful to warn them just as Noah was in his day and time. I've got one of the ladies at our church has a lost husband. I've tried to witness to Jeff several times. He doesn't believe the Bible. He doesn't believe any of this. And he kind of laughs at it. He said, "Preacher, I know y'all talk about Jesus coming and the rapture and all this." He said, "I tell you what, when my wife and all of you down at Florence Street disappear, then I'll know it's true and I'll get saved." Ha, ha, ha. I said, "Jeff, I don't think it works that way. For one thing, you don't know that you'll live till then. Death can come at any time. And even if it happens in your lifetime, you'll probably believe the Antichrist. He's going to come along and explain the rapture. Aliens have abducted these people." I think there's something about the spaceships, aliens, all that. It's preparing people to believe that aliens could actually snatch people out of here. He's going to have an explanation. And Jeff, who will not accept the truth, will believe a lie. I'll be careful about treating this lightly. You do it to the peril of your eternal soul. It says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, "There shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning." We see that today, don't we? Noah's world was not spared. If God would not spare them, why would he spare you? Then he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah in the time of Lot. What were the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? If you go to Ezekiel chapter 16, it tells us. Ezekiel 16 verse 49 and 50. "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Fullness of bread." I feel guilty already. Does that hush puppies count? Fullness of hush puppies. "Abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." We look at that list. Does it make you think about America? Are we not guilty of these same sins in America? Pride. America's become haughty, filled with pride. Gluttony. We'll pass on that one. But seriously, we throw away enough food in America to feed several nations. We play with food. Seriously. That missionary from India, was amazed at how Americans play with food while his people are starving in India. We have pie eating contests. People are starving, and we're playing with food. And we throw away enough food to feed nations. Idleness. We're an idle nation. We're bored. Many refuse to work because they think the state owes them a living. Selfishness. Look out for number one, the me generation. That's us. Abomination. Immorality, pornography, drug abuse, homosexuality. All of that is commonplace in our society today. Ladies and gentlemen, sin that once slinked down the back alleys of America now strut down the main streets of our cities, such as Gay Pride Week, flaunting their immorality and their sin, daring God to do something about it. God destroyed Sodom for this. Don't think that God will not destroy America for it. Because we're far more sinful than Sodom. We have been given much light. We have the Word of God. We have the gospel. And Jesus said, "For unto whom so much is given, of him shall much be required." He's given much to America. He's going to require a lot of America. I want to add another. It's not in your text, but think about Israel. You know, Israel was not spared. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verses 20 and 21, says, "Because of unbelief, they," speaking of Israel, "were broken off. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God," look at this, "for if God spared not," if God spared not "the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee." God didn't spare Israel. Because Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, God sent judgment upon them. Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and the Jews were driven out of their country. And for 1900 years, they were a people without a country. God spared not the chosen people of Israel. If he will not spare Israel, why would he spare you? The Jews didn't think God would punish them. They were the chosen people of the covenant. They would say, "Well, we may be a little bad, but we're not as bad as those Romans. We're not as bad as those Egyptians. We're not as bad as those Assyrians." But who did God use to judge Israel? The Romans, the Assyrians, the Babylonians. Folks, listen. You listen to me. Don't you sit there and think God won't use Russia to judge America. Don't think God won't take China and use them to judge America. God may use Muslim Arab countries to judge America. He did it to Israel. Why should America feel like we would be spared? Folks, we're living in dangerous times. These are dangerous times. The biggest danger confronting us is not Russia. It's not China. It's not Muslim terrorism. The greatest danger facing America is an almighty God who is angry with the sin of this nation. That's our danger. Here's the final thought. And this is going to, if nothing else has got you, this will get you. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. God spared not his own son. You see that? God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God God spared not his own son. Who crucified Jesus? So, preacher, them Romans. They're the ones guilty of crucifying Jesus. Others say, no, it was the Jews. They delivered him to the Romans. The Jews, the Jewish leaders, they are guilty of crucifying Jesus. Some say, no, we're all guilty. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? We were represented, weren't we? He died because of us and our sin. But do you know who really crucified Jesus? Go to Isaiah 53 and I'll show you. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken. Now look at this. Smitten of God and afflicted. Who smote Jesus? God did. Who afflicted Jesus? God did. God spared not his own son, but delivered him up. Verse 6, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. With his stripes we are healed. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. You know, this was pictured when Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah. God told him to sacrifice his son on the altar. Remember the story? Abraham obeyed. Abraham took his son, was going to lay him on an altar and shed his life's blood and offer him as a sacrifice unto God. Of course, you remember God stopped him, didn't he? And he looked and saw a ram caught in the thicket. Now, Isaac, who was representing man, there's a ram substitute. Isaac didn't have to die. The ram died in his place. The ram represents the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another idea here. Here's the father offering up the son. Abraham offering his promised son. And it pictures God the Father offering his son as a sacrifice. Folks, listen to me. If there was ever a time when God would have spared someone for sin, it would have been his precious son. Amen. But if he would not spare Jesus, why would he spare you? Is this coming home to anybody? I mean, you reject his precious son, you spit on him, you mock him, and you think God is going to let you into his heaven? He will cast you into hell where you deserve to be. Because the worst sin you can commit is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Bible says in Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Would you give your child to die? Would you allow an angry mob to spit upon your child, beat him, mock him, nail him to a cross? Would you allow it? I wouldn't. I don't love you that much to allow my child or my grandchild to go through that. God did. God did. The wrath of God has been revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness, and God will never, ever spare a condemned unbeliever. So, preacher, I just don't believe that God would send anybody to hell. My God would not do that. I agree with you. Your God would not do that. But here's the problem. Your God doesn't exist. Your God only exists between your ears because you have fabricated him. You have created an idol God that you believe in and worship. But you will not stand before that God. You will stand before the God of this Bible. And the God of this Bible is a God of wrath and a God of judgment. By the authority of this book, I'm telling you the truth. It'll be to your peril to reject it. You can either accept the sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made on the cross to pay your sin debt, or you can reject it. The Bible says it's a gift. You can accept a gift or you can reject a gift. Right? You can reject a gift. And the gift of salvation is being offered to you tonight. If you're not saved, you've got a choice to make. As we prepare for this invitational hymn, as we're doing that, let me share a story with you in closing. Joe Henry Hankins told this that happened in his ministry. He had led this lady to the Lord, and she was going to be baptized the coming Sunday, and he went to talk to her lost husband to try to share the gospel with him. And he did. He sat down and shared the gospel with this man. And the man said, "Preacher, I believe what you're saying and I will be saved. This Sunday I'm going to come with my wife and I'm going to get saved Sunday. I promise you." Brother Hankins said, "Well, praise God. Amen." And he started to leave. And the Holy Spirit impressed upon him to go back and plead with the man not to wait till Sunday. He said, "Listen, if you're going to get saved, why wait till Sunday? Let's just go ahead right now. We can pray together. You can ask God forgiveness. You can trust Jesus Christ right now. You don't have to wait till Sunday." The man said, no, I want to do it in church. Preacher, don't worry. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm a man of my word. I promise you, I will be there Sunday. I will walk the aisle and I will get saved." Preacher said, "Okay, praise God." He started to walk away again, and again he was impressed to share one more thought. He said, "Before I go, I want you to know there's a verse in the Bible that says today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Sir, listen, right now, God says today's the day of salvation. The devil is telling you to wait till Sunday. Now, you have to make a decision. Are you going to listen to God or are you going to listen to the devil?" Man said, "Mister, I've been listening to the devil all my life. It's done nothing but bring me grief. No, tonight I'm listening to God. I'm ready to get saved." Amen. They bowed down in his living room and he poured his heart out and trusted Christ as his Savior. Amen. He said, "Preacher, I'll be there Sunday to walk the aisle for baptism. Now I'm going to get baptized with my wife." Sunday morning came, that man didn't show up. He wasn't there. After church, the preacher got a phone call. It was from a member of this man's family. He said, "Preacher, we called to tell you, he passed away last night. He had waited till Sunday." God knew this man's time had come. Either get saved now, or die lost forever forsaken. Today's the day of salvation. Amen. I led a young lady to the Lord the other day. She said, it was after a funeral, after the funeral of her grandmother. And I talked to the people about not waiting, but getting saved, and I shared a prayer with them. She came to me at the funeral. She said, "Preacher, I want you to pray with me. I'm ready to accept Christ as my Savior." She said, "I've been in church all my life." She's 22 years old. "Been in church all my life. My grandfather was a pastor." But she said, "I've never been saved. I just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And today your message convinced me I cannot put it off any longer." We knelt down and prayed together and she accepted Christ as her Savior. Luckily, she didn't wait too long. Others have. Folks, hell is full of people that intended to get saved one day. But death came unexpectedly. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing hymn number 521. 521, as your pastor stands before you. If you need to come and trust Christ today, young or old, male or female, today's the day of salvation. Would you come? If you need to come for baptism or church membership, rededication, if you just need to come to the altar and pray for yourself, for others, the altar's open. As we sing, would you come? This is your opportunity. Would you come? Just say yes to the Lord today.